The Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Claff for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is a fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Claff. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Claff.
And thanks for joining us. We've been away for quite a while. We were away during the Yom Tovim, so we're back now. We're going to change the format slightly going forward, but pretty much we're going to be tackling many of the issues that we want to talk about, the work of the Hebrew Order of David and everything that is done in the community. I want to start off this next thing with talking about some of the people in the community who are doing work unseen and unheralded, but greatly appreciated. So let me begin. Sometime at the beginning of July, I lost my mother. She was 100 years old. And I got a phone call from Sandringham Gardens to say that my mother had passed away. And from then on, seriously, I had to do nothing. The Chevra Kedisha and the team that took over and conducted the funeral and really put themselves out in a seamless exhibition of really community spirit, and the way they did things was professional. Now, I've been to funerals in many other places, unfortunately, but I can tell you this is right up world class. And so I have tonight with me three gentlemen from the Chevra Kedisha, who I'm sure a lot of you will know. Firstly, David Weber, the GM and also funeral director. Philip Kalmanovitz, the funeral director, senior personnel at the West Park, and of course the Chevra Kedisha, and also Bram Shevel, who works with the other people that you meet and who help behind the scenes, collecting bodies, doing all the work that you don't see, and all you do is you pitch up for the funeral and you left to grieve on, you know, and you can do your grieving without the aggravation and the effort of putting this on. Meanwhile, in the background, work is carrying on and an amazing capacity. And during this last period of COVID, they've been under great pressure because I'm sure funerals have gone up. So without further ado, let me introduce, welcome David Weber.
Hi, good evening, Stan. Thanks very much. Good evening to all the listeners and nice to be on the program. And thank you for recognizing our work. We don't expect thank yous, but we always appreciate when it comes.
And then we have Philip Kalmanovitz. Welcome.
Hi, good evening, Stan. Thank you for having us. We really appreciate being here. I often listen to your program and I think it's quite intriguing. So thank you to you and to all who do it.
Thank you. And then to Bram Shevel, welcome to you.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for having us. It's a great honor to be on your show.
Thank you very much. So, Philip and David, you know, I know you from seeing you and doing the work that you do, but I'm not too much familiar with what goes on behind the scenes and how things are conducted. So would you like to just take us through a typical day? I mean, obviously, you've collected the bodies, they've been prepared and so on. But you've got this down to a fine art. I guess practice makes perfect, but, you know, you're working with a small team and you're doing amazing work. So take us through how things, what happens and how things are done.
Thanks, Stan. So, well, I think one has to just explain the whole sort of process. So, between Philip and myself, and then we mustn't forget, I think one has to mention Carl van der Merwe, who does all our Shabbos collections, and he covers us over Shabbos and Yontif. But between Philip and myself, we're on duty during the week, 24-hour periods, 3 days a week each. And during that time, we're on duty all the time. We get a call. At the time of the call, we just try and establish, you know, if it's a natural death always. We we have to ensure that, you know, everything's in order, because if things aren't in order, we have to take certain steps to ensure that, you know, there are doctors that are aware and will issue death certificates. Once we've taken the details of the call, we take all the information, from the families at the time on the call, and, we are also connected to the Chevra Kedisha database. So we're able to dial in and, on the getting onto the database, and we can update our records immediately and see who all the family are. And at the same time, we update our website immediately for the pass of the, for the, just to announce the passing of the particular person. If we've already set the time for the funeral, we'll put the time, on the funeral, of the funeral immediately on the database. Our database is www.jhpchev.co.za. It's actually quite amazing how many people still phone us, and we've been on the web for a number of years, but
yeah,
people still call us and ask us for funerals, what time the funerals are. It's an interesting, website that we have. Besides just talking about the funerals, one's able to make donations, one's able to see the time of the funerals, and, when times were better, and please God will be better, then one's also able to see.
I think what David was just saying, I don't, can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, so what David was saying, that the website also has information about when we have prayers, we also put that onto the website. So the time of the funeral, the time of the prayers, all the information that people require is actually on there. And a lot of people dial in and, you know, they ask us questions about it. It's quite interesting that over the last 2 days, we just haven't had funerals. It's, I think it's an this hasn't happened for during the COVID period, that we've had 2 days in a row without any funerals. But we, there we are for the last 2 days.
Yes, to say, from a personal point of view, I go there every day. I mean, we have people who are on our database from the Hebrew or David's point of view. So if somebody's passed away, I would like to know. So I'm the secretary. I pass the information on to the members if anybody got passed away. But it's a most useful site, and it's always kept updated. I have to say, yeshakar to you for doing it. Unfortunately, we seem to have lost David for the moment. I'm sure he'll be back. But in the meantime, Philip, take us through what happens after you've collected the body and it's been prepared. You inform the people. And, of course, during the COVID, the whole ceremony and the what's her name was, the funeral was under sanitized conditions. You know, you were in great pains, and I'm sure that continues. And that's actually most appreciated by the community. So just take us through a typical day.
Okay. So, all right. So what we have is also, there's normally two of our staff members are on call, and that would be 24/7. If it's during working hours, then there's a little bit of flexibility that anyone who's available can go out and do the call. But if it's after hours, then they will go out. They will go out any time, and we will, you know, and we can make sure that whatever needs to be done is attended to straight away. So we go out, we fetch the body, and whatever the family requires can be attended to immediately at any hour.
I don't want to go into the detail of the preparation of the body, etc., but I'm sure that's a process on its own. You have volunteers doing the preparation. What happens? So now, I mean, the family really are informed, that pitch up there, and everything is ready. So you've got everything at your fingertips. I mean, obviously you've got stock of coffins, you've got everything is there, so you run a very smooth operation. Are there any other things that are done? Like, I believe there's some soil that you put in the coffin, some soil that you put in the grave. That special soil comes from Israel. Just take us through some of that.
Okay, so part of the process when we get the body ready for burial is the Tahara process. And during the Tahara process, we make sure that we have a stock of soil from Israel, and we put some of that soil into the coffin together with the body, and also in various parts of the body. And it's kind of an idea that when there'll be this Tchiyat HaMetim, the resurrection of the dead, that the sand from Israel will kind of draw the body towards Israel. We believe that when that day happens, everybody will be resurrected and land up in Israel and Jerusalem. So it's like a taste of it.
Right. And then another further soil is put into the graves itself.
No, it isn't put. The soil that gets put into the coffin is the soil that we use.
Okay. And then the people that conduct the actual ceremony, those are volunteers who come, they must have a roster and they come on a daily basis, whatever they are asked to do.
Yeah.
Are they always on call or is there a roster? How does it work?
No, so I'll tell you what happens. We've got a group of volunteers, quite a large group of volunteers who do the preparation of the body. And they're on duty. Each group is on duty one day a week, and then they get called by us, and then they turn up and they do their preparation. And then we also have a group of gaboyim who are available. Each one is available on a different day of the week, and we normally call them or they'll call in and say what's on for today. And they normally look at the site as well. They check up with us and then they'll come in order to make sure that the funeral is done by them, and they make sure the procedures are all followed, et cetera, et cetera.
So David, you're back. Thanks. Technology rules our lives.
Yeah.
I'd like to move on just for a moment. We'll come back to you, David. I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that.
No, just in terms of the Gaboyim, you know, with the COVID, a lot of the elder gentlemen who work for the Kev, and, you know, a lot of them quite understandably have moved out until hopefully things will get better. So for those that happen to be listening, if anybody has the time available to come and assist with funerals, we're always able to, we'd like to hear from you. We always need people.
Okay, so some of the people that are working there permanently, that's where you come in, Bram Shevel. You with a group of volunteers, and I keep the back, and we'd like to just give them a thank you from us and mention their names so they can also know that the community appreciates them.
I work for the Chevra Commission. I've been at the cemetery for 15 years.
Right.
And for me personally, it's been a great honor and a great merit, because I know what I've meant to be doing, and this is what I've meant to be doing. As for my, you know, I work with a great group of colleagues. There's Neil Nathan, Keith Tabakan, as you mentioned. There's Eddie Tate, Colin Barnett, and Menachem, who is the cemetery manager. We all work together. We all... It's a good team that we have, and we help each other out. And not also, I mustn't forget Rodney Margot, who's been there the longest.
Yes, and I mean, you people ferry the people, the visitors to the graves. You're on hand to assist with closing the grave afterwards. I know there's machinery that's done, and I'm sure the digging is done by a back actor, etc. But from the point of view of being personally and being involved and obliging to the last, you know, these old people who come there, and you know, background. And I have to tell you, it's been mentioned to me many times, the amazing work that you do. And you have to know that the community really appreciates what you do and recognize you for what you've done. If there was some sort of award we could give you, you would be top of the list.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm at a slight loss for words, but the work, yes, part of my work is that we have to, when we're on call, you run around in the middle of the night, and that's its own set of challenges. And then you've run around all night, and then you come to the cemetery and you still have to do your daily duties, whether it be officiating at funerals or assisting at the grave in various, putting sand, helping lower or the coffin. These are all things that are part and parcel. And as I said, for me, it's a great honor and a great privilege to help.
Well, for all of you, you have to be dedicated people to work in that environment. It's not everybody's, cut out for that kind of job. You certainly don't fit the profile of the black-coated, top-hatted funeral directors coming to the thing. You're people, you're one of us. And, we need you. The work that you've done, Philip and David and Brom, of course, your team, the ladies behind the counter, I'm sure need to mention as well, who take the donations. And it's very heartening when you get a letter from the Chief to say, this is the amount of monies that we've collected, these are the people that donated. And it's something, you can see that people want to do it, they want to donate. I appreciate what's being done. So, are there stories of, I don't want to go into some gory details of stories, but do things go wrong or is it always smooth sailing? Was that not a fair question?
Well, when things go wrong, they go wrong. When we make mistakes, we generally make, the mistake is a big mistake because people's emotions are involved. So we try very hard not to make the mistakes. Occasionally we do. We try and fix them. And in most cases, I think people are understanding, but sometimes they are very, 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 very upset and it's very hard to calm down.
Yes,
but I'm going to tell you that, just to tell you what happened today sometime, when I came to the office, Charmaine came to me and said that she received a telephone call this morning from somebody who said, your website's not up to date. So she said to them, what do you mean your website's not up to date? She says, there haven't been funerals for the last 3 days.
Thank God.
Charmaine said, well, thank God. That's why the website hasn't been updated. There's been nothing to update it with.
But,
thank God we've had it. It's been nice and it's been quiet. And, please God, it should stay like this.
Just can we talk about some statistics? I think the number of people who are buried at West Park probably exceeds the number of people living in South Africa. Would that be right? The number of Jews I'm talking about.
Well, we have about 50,000 just at West Park with Bromfontein and with Brixton. We probably got 70-odd, maybe a little more. So we probably do have a bigger community at our cemeteries than within the country, although the numbers aren't really known how many Jews there are in the country.
And the land that you have, I mean, there's space, you've allocated space. What happens when it's full? Is that foreseeable future or is that Are there plans afoot?
Well, we've just opened up a new area, which is about it's about a 1.5 kilometer walk from the Ohel, and there we have a facility. We've got probably 7-8 years still available. Within the cemetery, we probably also have probably about another 6-7 years available. And there is, on the west side of the cemetery, there is some land available, which we would like to get. But it belongs, I think, to the agricultural department, and it's got to get transferred to the parks. These things are all in the background. This is taken care of by the head office. They do all the negotiating and the talking and sorting out the additional land. But so we've probably got easily 15 to 20 years. Let's say 15 years, I suppose. Definite 15 years at the cemetery.
When it comes to the graves and the gravestones, when you've got the unveilings and so on, you're not running unveilings at the moment, I presume.
People are actually phoning in now and wanting to start, inquiring about the unveilings. We've had the odd one or two, which we'll call private unveilings, where the families have come on their own. They may have brought their rabbi and they've done their own unveiling. Our concern is that we don't want too many people in the same area at any one time.
Right.
I think from, in the next week or two, we're starting with unveilings. Whereas we used to run unveilings every half hour, we're now going to be doing, we're trying it. We're going to try starting it every hour, because we'd like to do the funerals, let's say, at the half hour and then the unveilings at the hour, so that the two don't sort of cross too much. And we're going to have to play it by ear and see. And it's very difficult to control the crowds. Our clients at the living clients at the cemetery are mainly Jewish, and it's difficult to give Jews instructions and tell them what to do.
You mean rules are not for Jews? Is that what you're saying?
pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so I'd like to also talk about the Rabbonim. Just for a moment, because I know in my case, Rabbi Yossi Goldman officiated at my mother's funeral, which I mentioned earlier. But that's the choice of the family of the person of the deceased. I presume they bring the rabbi that was the deceased rabbi, and they so. Is there a roster for that, or is there any restriction, or they just officiate as needed basis?
Yeah, so Philip can answer that.
Okay, so basically, the families have the choice of which rabbi to call on, and we try to set a time for the funeral, but I normally just ask the family just to confirm with the rabbi that it suits him, and that he'll be available at that particular time. And generally, it works out. The rabbis kind of make sure that they're available, but they do prefer to be asked first before the time is set. Which does make a lot of sense, because often they are quite busy. But it works out quite well.
Okay, and during COVID,
if I can just stopping in many families, unfortunately, do not belong to communities any longer for whatever reasons. And so they will tell us that they don't have a rabbi. So what we try and do is, if the community live in let's say an outside area, let's say four ways. So we'll try and get the rabbi from the Chabad area there to come to do the funeral, to set up a connection. Otherwise, we do have three or four rabbis that, we are generally available, and we call them in and we ask them to help. Family prior to the funeral would, contact the rabbi, tell the rabbi a little bit about the person who passed away, so that the person who has passed away has the kovod, has the honor of having a eulogy.
Yes. And, so the rule of having the funeral on the day of the passing, you would adhere to as much as possible, but sometimes you do delay because you got a, you know, family you want to bring, the family living overseas. What are the restrictions to that? I mean, is there a definite time limit? I mean, obviously you want to do it the same day, but what happens going further? Is there a time limit on that?
So Stan, I think what's happened over during the COVID times is that people weren't able to travel. So almost every single funeral was either conducted on the day that the person passed away or else a day later, the next day, depending on the timing. It just happened to work like that. We're now getting to a stage where people are able to travel, and there are requests from certain people for their family to come. And we do have a limit. We do have a limit. The Beth Din sets a maximum of 72 hours, and we try to make sure that we do adhere to that. You know, we believe that anybody can get from anywhere in the world to Johannesburg, South Africa, within 72 hours, and that's really worked out pretty much 100% over the last many years.
Yes, I can understand that. So during COVID, what, besides the limitation, I mean, did people put pressure on you to expand the numbers of people coming there, or was that everybody just adhered to the rule that you could only limit it to the number of people that you prescribed?
I think that,
What were the challenges of those funerals?
I think in all the funerals that we've had since the lockdown, I'd say 95% of them all adhered to the numbers. From my side, most people, I think over 60, just don't want to come. They don't want to get out of home. They don't want to come to the cemetery. So generally, the crowds have been relatively small. I think we've had two or three funerals that where the crowds did go a little over number, and when we had some very, example, Rabbi Tanza, when he passed away, I don't remember any of the others, but there were some others, well-known people. So those funerals were made as private funerals. The times weren't announced, and the family invited certain people just so that the numbers wouldn't get too high.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people seem to worry about whether they would have a minion.
Yes, so that is a problem. It was a problem that we've had. We have every day, or not every day, but we have regularly. And I must give cover to, we have a Mace Mitzvah group. It's there is a very, very big mitzvah to go and to help with the burial of a dead person. It's a huge mitzvah, Mace Mitzvah, because one can't get thanked for that. And so we have a Mace Mitzvah group which was set up by between I think the guys who originally set it up was Ruben from I forget his first name from Hatzola, one of the guys, and the other person who I think initially was involved was the late Mike Bowen. And
yes.
We have, so as soon as we, people tell us that we're going to be short of a minion, we send out a message on the Mace Mitzvah group, and it's unbelievable. We get 3, 4, 5, however many people that we need, we get. I think that the very first funeral that we had for COVID, I think we must have had 5, 6 people that came along from the Mace Mitzvah group. Unbelievable guys. They come, they attend the funeral, they help. Yishikoach to Mr. Rubin. Well, Mike Bone should have, he should get nachas from what he's done, and his neshama should have an aliyah.
Absolutely, well-respected person in the community. I just want to ask, we haven't heard too much from Bram. So, Bram, do you want to add anything to the discussion, your feelings, how you go about your daily business?
When we're on call, we get the information from Philip and David, and they tell us if it's COVID, if it's not COVID, what to expect. Sometimes they tell us things, but you know the reality can be different. But we have our PPE, which we have on hand all the time. During the day, we have various tasks to do at the cemetery. And it's a great thing to do.
Absolutely. So from the point of view of the cemetery itself, maybe this is an opportunity, David and Philip, to reach out or shout out to the community what you might need that you don't have at the moment. Maybe there's a couple of good souls out there who would like to assist. I'm not talking about personnel, I'm talking about physical items. I don't know what might be a motorized vehicle that could take the coffin up to the grave instead of walking for 1.5 kilometers.
Well, I think our biggest headache currently, and it's quite a big headache, is our TLB, which is our back, so that's getting a bit tired, and that's our big need that we need at the moment. But I think other than that, the one thing I have found, and I would appeal to families over here to speak to their children. There are many, many, many families in the community who aren't on our database, and it really pains me, because we are an unbelievable organization, not only from the burial side, from the other organizations, the homes, the food that we give people, the finance. And it just like hurts me that these youngsters are not part of it, and they don't understand that, you know, after a funeral that one maybe should give tzedakah, and not even having to go to a funeral, but just when one visits to give tzedakah. And it's, to me, that really, it pains me that some people are so distant from that. So to me, I mean, if I could get a TLB, that would be great. But if I could get a couple of hundred people coming in at any time, I mean, Philip's office, my office, we're always open and we'll get the information and we'll add them on. It's also important for the people to know what their parents' names are. You know, we're getting to a stage now that people don't know their names. You know, are you a Kohen? Aren't you a Kohen? It's, you know, we're losing it. We are, our community is, yeah, we're forgetting and it's not right. And I just want to appeal to the people. Please come log on to our system. Come. I'm happy to take anybody anywhere in the cemetery to explain what goes on, because it's, to me, it's a very important and a very interesting place. And even the Cheb are an unbelievable place. So, yeah, after at the same time as Matielbi, I'd like to grow my database with visitors who come.
Right, so just on that score, what you mentioned about the database and the information, because there's also some paperwork to be carried out after the funeral of the registration of the death and so on. So people should be prepared for information. I mean, I'm guilty of it myself. I couldn't find my mother's ID book. So that presents a problem in doing the paperwork when you know, you've got to finish that off. So what should people have in readiness for this, besides the names of the Hebrew names and so on, of the not only of their parents, of everyone, what other paperwork should they have handy that they would need to make the registration easier?
I think, Stan, I think that the IDs is a very important part, because that's absolutely essential. We can't get anywhere without the ID. But there are other important things as well. As David said, people should know what their Hebrew names are. If they've got copies of their parents' ketubah or their own ketubah, that's very important, because it helps us to make sure that we have the correct names. I was also thinking to myself, David was mentioning the TLB, which absolutely we do need, but we had two hearses, and one of them was involved in an accident, and we only have one at the moment. It would be really great if we had a second one, and we could, sometimes we just need that second one just to help us take the edge off, you know, then we can get to the scene a lot quicker. Is there anything else
Yeah, this is your opportunity to do it. Okay, we're going to wrap up in a few minutes. Any other personal messages you want to give? And then I'd like to say a few words about what you do and so on. Just to wrap up, I'm going to then have another speaker coming on at 10 to just for a few minutes to talk about Limud. But I'd just like you to have an opportunity now to say if there's anything else you'd like three of you just to wrap up, whatever you would want to, what's on your mind, besides the TLB and the horses.
If I can just come in first. First of all, I'd like to express my thanks to all our staff at the cemetery, not only to the Masaskim, Keith, Neil, Eddie, Colin, Rodney and Brom, but we've got an unbelievable team of security guys from Stallion. We have we've got Menachem there, who is managing the cemetery. We have the top turf team. We have the service ladies who do the cleaning up. And more, I think a very big thank you must go to the ladies and the men who are behind the doors, who come. The ladies start at 6:30 in the morning sometimes. They're a team every day. We've got different ladies. We're also looking for ladies who are possibly interested in helping us and joining the Tahara teams. There are certain requirements, but if you're interested, you need only contact us. We'll tell you what the requirements are. We'll put you in touch with a lady who's responsible, Shirley Resnick, who runs the ladies teams. And then also a very big thank you to all the men. There's some guys who have been the Tahara teams because of the shortage that we've had. some guys have been really working hard and coming more than once, more than twice a week. And they need a very, 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 very big yashikoyach. Another very important team that we have. We have some ladies that sew our tachritim, which is a special method. To them, a very, very big thank you. You know, these are all people that are very involved, and they're the unknown. And without them, we can't function.
Right, that's very well said. So I want to welcome Ryan Davis from Limwood. Ryan, if you just hold on a while, we're just finishing up here with people from the Hebra, which very interesting talk about what they do at the cemetery and how things are conducted. So, Philip, would you like to say anything?
Yes. I don't know if David mentioned, a huge thank you to our gardening staff. During the hectic time, we had like a really hectic June, July, August, even part of May. They just made themselves available. It didn't matter if we were finishing late, starting early. They just made themselves available. Bear in mind that many of the graves are dug by hand, and when we were having 8 and 9 funerals a day, they just made sure that everything was ready for us. Also, like a big thank you to the admin staff at the Chev, who make our life easier. Just if we need extra staff, they make sure that the systems run smoothly. That's absolutely incredible. I'm just trying to think if there's anybody else. We did mention the two ladies who work at the cemetery. Also, thankless job. They make sure, and often people like want to make things like the funerals a bit later. Those ladies end up staying like at least an hour or two after the last person leaves the cemetery. So it's a big thank you to them as well. Thank you to David, who like he's turned this into the most incredible department, and it's a work of love that he put into it. He makes sure that everything is done, and he innovates, and he tries to put new ideas into place, which makes the system work well. And I think it's absolutely incredible. I think it's a well-oiled department that really works nice and smoothly. And thank God we're able to do it. And we appreciate being around, and it's a great honor to be able to serve the community in the way we do.
So I wanted to say that from the community's point of view, don't think that you're unappreciated or that it's a thankless task. The community is really in your debt. It's a side of life that people only come across when death strikes and there's a need for you. But everybody knows that you do an amazing job. It's been mentioned many, many times. I don't think that maybe they don't give you enough of kavod for the work that you do. It's definitely a labor of love. You have to be a special people to be able to be involved. And I really want to thank you for coming on the show and spending your time and giving us an insight into what goes on. Philip Kalmanovitz, David Weber, and Bram Shevel, and the rest of your team, I really want to thank you from the community's point of view. The Hebrew Order of David thanks you as well. You always allow us to conduct our ceremonies for brethren of the order who have passed, and it's much appreciated. And thank you for coming on the show and spending some time with us.
Stan, if I can just have the last word over here. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. The HOD, I must say, we have to thank them. Come Yontif, the HOD are always coming and bringing parcels for the staff at the Chev, and a very, very, very big yishuv koach to you guys, and a very, very big thank you on behalf of all of us. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Stan.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks so much. Ryan, Say good night to you, Ryan. Ryan Davis from Remood. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. I've got down
a little bit of your time, so you have 5 minutes to do your elevator pitch.
Tell us what's going on
with the Remood.
Thanks, Stan. I cannot also thank Phil and Dave and Brom and their teams. I mean, what incredible work, and all of us in the community are so grateful for them, to them and for them, and just them as people. I've known Dave and Phil for a long time, and I mean, they are as good as you describe them, and I just do a big thank you from everyone in the community as a community member.
Absolutely, no question.
So thank you, Stan, as always, for creating space to talk about community building, which is, I think, who you are really at heart. And yes, we've got another Elimwood coming up this Sunday. We had such an amazing response from our first Elimwood conference, and also from the follow-up that we did in partnership with the Jewish Report. And people asked for more, so we are bringing it back from 5 until 9 p.m. on Sunday afternoon and evening with a crazily amazing lineup, six different choices per session slot, 4 different slots, everything from Israel to the American elections and how it affects the Jews, to history and society, to music and film and poetry and art and culture and text and Torah and Holocaust and personal stories. So there really is something for everyone. And we've got, as we spoke about the last time, the real opportunity to bring presenters from all over the world that we wouldn't necessarily be able to have in person into our homes. So people will be joining from all over the place. As it was the last time, it's obviously we have a cost to cover costs, but if people aren't able to afford it, there's a COVID-19 a rate of 18 Rand for those that have been affected by COVID-19. And we just want people to come together as Limwood does, to just bring all different types of Jews from all over the world together to learn together. We're very excited. So, Stan, I don't know if you have any questions, but otherwise I can share a few highlights that are coming up.
No, please go ahead and also just give addresses and so on, contact details so people can contact you.
Fantastic. So the address to register, everything can be done. There is a registration page on the Quicket ticket site, but all the information is on the Limwood website, which is Limwood, LIMMUD.org.ZA, Limwood.org.ZA, with all the registration details, all the program details, as well as synopses of every session and bios of all the presenters. You know, Limwood's all about variety. So we're going to be able to have an opportunity on Sunday to do some kosher cooking with Ellie Creel, who's from the Jewish community in Dubai. She'll be talking about this fusion between kosher cooking and Emirati food. An opportunity to hear from Gershom Gorenberg, who will be talking about the forgotten history of Nazi war criminals in the Middle East. You'll be able to hear, as we said before, about so many different sessions on Jews in Israel and how the American elections will affect the Jewish community, both in the States and in America. And you also have the opportunity to hear from Saul Berman, who's an Orthodox rabbi who was involved in the civil rights movement with Martin Luther King. He's going to be sharing his story of spending prison on Purim in 1965 during the civil rights movement in Selma, Alabama, and the lessons for us as Jews in 2020. We've also got Anne Harris, who's a community stalwart. She'll be in conversation with her son, Michael, talking about the rabbinate and their inside family story. And we'll be heading over to Jerusalem with Sarah Tuttlesinger, who's a beloved storyteller, talking about her experiences getting a real understanding of the 4 different quarters of Jerusalem in her love story with Jerusalem. A very popular presenter from a few years ago who came out from the States, Paul Rudwalpi, who's a professor at Emory University, will be sharing with us his take on artificial intelligence and its ethical challenges. lots more on Israel, lots more on the American elections. Waxman will be dialing in from Los Angeles. We've got Will Recant, who is the assistant executive vice president of the JDC, the Joint Distribution Committee, the leading Jewish humanitarian aid organization in the world. And he'll be speaking about his 40-year global journey from North America to Ethiopia to Cuba, Belarus, and Rwanda, rebuilding Jewish communities and helping with humanitarian crises.
You have half a minute left, according to the producer.
Thanks, Stan. And everything, we'll be having some, we'll be having learning Yiddish and the life of Molly Picon with Lee Noodleman. Favorite at Limwood, Ilana Stein will be speaking again. So really something for everyone. So we'd love to see you there. It's a real bringing the community together. Limwood.org.za this Sunday, 5 to 9 p.m. And we're excited to be celebrating Jewish learning, taking you one step further on your Jewish journey with the Jewish community of South Africa and around the world.
Thank you. And thank you, Ryan. And again, a thank you to the people from the Chev who, Sheva Kadisha, West Park. That's the three people who are on the show. Philip Kalmanovitz, David Weber, and Bram Shivel for the time spent with us. And we wish everybody a good Shabbos. And stay safe. Stay indoors, don't go out. Cheers.